Hello, everybody, and welcome to the October edition. I almost said November edition of Inside Track. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we are here to talk about elevating dealership performance, and I'm very excited because this month we are talking to our good friends at Napleton around how to maximize results through your phone system and tying that back to analytics. It is a very exciting podcast or a very exciting episode this week. We're going to learn how to create a single view into crawl performance across every department. We're going to improve appointment conversions and reduce missed opportunities. We're also going to learn how to hear some around how Napleton drives accountability to get clear visibility into employee activity and not only just what your people are doing on the phone. We're going to talk a little bit about the outcomes that we see. And hopefully you guys walk away with a practical playbook from one of the industry's leading dealers on how to turn those conversations into conversions and build a culture of performance at your dealership. Now, truth be told, you guys have been on the podcast with me before, so you know that I work from home. We had a very, very late set of baseball games last night, so both of my sons are here, and we do these live, so just calling that out now. As always, before we bring our guest in, you see that audience chat over to the right-hand side of your screen. Please light that up. You know that we love interactivity all throughout the filming and recording of these. So please get our questions in. And now let's go ahead and introduce our guest and bring him to stage. I am thrilled to be joined by Mr. Jack Simmons. Jack, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what it is you do there for Napleton, and then we will dive right into the content.
Well, thanks for having me, Eric. It's good to join you. I think this conversation is one that's long overdue. How do we take all this data and all these analytics, consumer behavior, consumer journey, and actually understand how the phone matters? Yep. And how we can better leverage all of this information to create performance and then measurable results. So, you know, and I told you previously, I worked in the retail side of the business for 25 years. Spent the last 25 years working for three great companies, Cars Commerce, Cox Automotive, as a national trainer. So I preached all these best practices for years in showrooms everywhere and any convention that there was happening. And then I got the great opportunity to work with the Napleton ownership to kind of put my money where my mouth is,
yep,
I would say. And developed into one of the best in class business development centers in the industry today.
Yeah, and you guys are what? You guys are going on your four. You've got four Pied Piper awards under your belt.
Yes, that is correct. So unprecedented. That mainly there are a lot of automotive companies that have gotten it once.
Yep.
In the last 5 or 6 years, and we've been very fortunate to attain that award and then keep it for 4 straight years in a row.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is a very, very coveted award and very, like you said, it's crazy that you guys keep racking them up. You're going to need to build a trophy case just for those, awards. So Jack, let's go ahead. Let's dive in. So you've been, I want to start with a little bit about your background and your experience, right? So, I mean, you've been around for 50 years, you know, and you've been in this industry for over 25 working, like you said, with Cox and Cars.com and a lot of the other great ones at Napleton. What's the biggest change that you've seen over the course of your career? And what's one thing that you've seen that's just remained constant and not changed?
Well, that's a great question. I think the fundamentals in our industry have not changed. I think there are good processes in place. I think there's good talent in place. I will say that with the advent of AI and all the data points and analytics that we have, that has changed a lot about how we perceive things. I.e., you know, in the old days, you know, it was less than 15 years ago, dealers thought, well, you know, these leads don't work or these aren't good leads. And, you know, I'm not getting anything out of this. And then everybody says, well, they are leads. And the question is, you have to ask yourself, it's not about the leads. It's about how you're handling the leads.
Yep.
It's about the talent that is conversing and interacting with those leads. And it is all about talent, process, and accountability.
Sure.
And those three main ingredients are still true today.
Yep.
The question is, as a leader within an organization, within a dealer group, within a single point store, is how do I actually use the data, the information, the technology tools?
100%.
How do I equate that to selling cars?
Yep. How do you tie those? How do you tie that accountability back to the outcomes that you're actually seeing? So let's go ahead. And I think that sets up our first section here pretty well. Is, you know, you guys, Napleton, juggle, a ton of digital tools. You have a ton of touch points. Yet you guys still do such an amazing job of recognizing that the phone still sits at the center of everything. And if you guys have listened to the podcast before, if you heard me talk, it is all about that connect. It's the oldest piece of technology, and I'll continue to preach this until the day phones get embedded right in our ears. Maybe not too far away from. Given that now you've said, Jack, that the good old days was 15 years ago, so we're. That's a scary thought, given that I have a 15-year-old that I'm like, wow, I can't even think about 5 years ago at this point. But anyway, it's still, the phones are still the heartbeat of sales and service. So let's start with why that's such a critical driver for dealership experience. And in your experience, why does the phone remain such a vital point and profit center for the dealer?
Well, I'll go back to what you just said. The moment I put this in my ear,
yep,
it's in my ear, right? But it's still the phone. And in any studies that we've seen over the past 20 years, it always comes down, when you look at consumer behavior and you look at that consumer journey, their endpoint for the majority of purchasers are to the human side of the equation, which is the phone call. And we can tell by the tools that you guys help provide us that when that customer gets that far down the funnel, then it converts to the phone. They've done a lot of their research. They've done their homework. And still buying a car is an emotional purchase. Is there some people that would look at an Amazon model and buy a certain product and say, I can get it and I'm comfortable with that?
Sure.
I think it all comes down to the price point, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I'm going to spend 30 grand, Cars Commer with Automotive News did a great webinar yesterday about affordability.
Yeah.
And which even makes us in the store level have to do our job even better to be able to provide a great service, great value, great customer service. And all of those things are all around talking to somebody on the phone.
Yep. I think you bring up an interesting point, right? It is. We see it a lot here at Car Review, where it's bridging that gap between in that buyer journey of when they make the decision to pick up the phone, right? And if you don't nail that first experience and you don't nail that first conversation point, and it's a bad experience, they're hitting the next button, and they're moving on to the next dealership who is, going to get maybe do better than what you did. And we hear it time and time again. So it's really, again, I preach it, and you and I talked about this on our prep session, is making sure that your people know what to do when that phone rings, or you hit the button to pick it up on your ear, or you answer on the soft dialer in the BDC, whatever it may be. What are some of the biggest pitfalls that you see dealerships encounter in managing the calls?
Well, first I'm going to say that this is top-down driven. The successes that you're going to have with this process, or any process that you have within your store, it has to come from the top. Right. So I can tell you the Napletons are very, very big believers in all of this in a centralized environment. Right.
Sure.
Now, that doesn't apply to every group or single point stores. But regardless of where you fall, if you are the leader or in leadership,
right,
you're not involved with what's going on with your phones, then you're not succeeding as well as you could be. You know what we do? You just asked the question. We, most of the time, measure activity. Mm-hmm. Like, get your butt out there. I need you to make 25 calls a day to every salesman. You can go to your internet department and say, hey, what's our activities today? Well, so-and-so did this many calls and so-and-so did this many calls. That's great. Your dashboard tells me, our dashboard tells me how many calls my agents are making in real time. I can listen to a call in real time. The difference is we just look at activity instead of looking at the quality of that activity. You said it, the first touch point. And we are the first touch point for all 50 of our stores. We take all inbound sales calls. We handle the message. We control the message.
Yep.
And then we are held accountable to the results of how we handle those.
Sure.
Right? So top-down driven is key. You must be involved in it. If you want to improve business, you must improve that talent, that process, and make sure you have an accountability mechanism that can give you insight into how do you improve something.
Yep.
The report card's only the report card. That didn't tell me how to do it better.
Right.
Right? And that's what we're talking about today.
How do we do I think this? That's the most interesting thing is taking at a lot of dealers and Matt and John, I'm going to get to your questions next because I think they're very relevant to the topic, is a lot of dealers that we work with, they struggle with bridging that gap from seeing, okay, you have all this insight in this data. Now, where do I go? And I, you know, it's almost analysis by paralysis by analysis, right? We have so many data points. Where do I go and make that first fix? And then, you know, the first question here we'll just get from Matt. Why do you think dealership sales teams struggle with outbound calls? What are you guys seeing there, and how are you guys overcoming that?
So we look at a process about age of lead, right? So we are very aggressive in the very first 10 days of that lead coming in once they reach a phone, because we know that they're very close to making a buying decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very aggressive with making sure we follow up. Now, that mechanism also includes text and email. We see a lot of conversations back and forth with consumers by text, especially during the day.
Yep.
We know that from our data and our live view from our phone system with you guys that we know when our best time to contact a customer is and when the least time to contact a customer is. Having that insight gives me direction on something as simple as, well, why do I have the staff here at this time and I have a bigger staff at a different time of the day? Well, those insights say I need the majority of my staff here during these hours.
Right.
Less staff during these hours, right? And I think it all goes back, you know, and I don't want to be old school fuddy-duddy, but we used to pull out a phone book and say, call people.
Yep.
And people don't like to call people for one really main reason. Because they don't have the knowledge behind what they're going to hear when somebody picks up the phone.
Yep.
And by having good AI tools, recording tools that recorded calls, if I'm getting ready to make a call and I'm a manager or I'm doing follow-up as a salesperson, I want to listen to the last call or the last connection to that customer.
100%.
Now, it may have been by text. Let me read what the texts were. It may have been by email. Let me see what the email communication is. Oh, the customer's talked to us three times. Let me listen to the last phone call. So when I get on the phone to talk to that customer, I'm already five steps ahead.
Yep.
So that's the difference between saying you go out and do activity and let me see that you made 20 calls versus you go out and do the activity on 10 calls and made 4 appointments.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that really brings in the quality versus quantity conversation that a lot of dealers are struggling with. Cause I have a conversation with a lot of dealers who are like, well, my sales guys have to make X amount of calls per day. And I always, my immediate follow-up question is what does that mandatory number get you as far as the outcomes are? And almost 9 out of 10 of the dealers that I talk to can't answer that question. They just want to see that top level metric is being hit and they know that everything. And that's a little bit like, you know, old school marketing where it was like, you were just going to throw so many things out there and see, you know, what stuck against the wall. And then that's where you're going to throw your dollars behind, where now with the amount of, and I make this point to my kids all the time because they're growing up, you know, we're growing up in a world now where there's so much information at your fingertips that you can know everything about the last X number of interactions that you had with a customer before you ever pick up that phone. You can see, oh, maybe this one they mentioned they're a Dallas Cowboys fan. I apologize. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I know we're all tougher together, Cowboys family. But, you can know, maybe they mentioned that, you can bring that up on the game, but it's just, and I bring that up, is the amount of data. And one thing that, you know, I will bring up that, you know, this is a little bit future looking, and you haven't heard this yet, Jack, but we're working on the idea of, what if you could just ask the system, give me the last, summarize the last 10 calls with this customer and give me the high level point, talking points, is what we're looking at in our system. Next thing I do want to get to John's question is, you know, the centralized, and I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, the centralized support call center, you know, where dealerships still need to take that call. Where do you see that line living? Is it for sales? Is it for service? Is it for both? And then I'm going to dovetail in the second question. What are your opinions, Jack, on, you know, DVAs and digital voice assistants? And I have an opinion on that that I would love to share too. But how do you see that playing a role going forward? Is like that always on team?
Well, I think I'm going to go back to data here just a little bit by behavior, right? So when we analyze our call volume inbound, right, and about 30% of our inbound call volume daily is not for sales. This is one of the things I'm going to caution people about, that if you really want to take your CSI to a different level and increase the consumer experience, the reason why people are calling is they're calling for service and they can't get a hold of their service department. So the number one thing people do, which makes sense, it's human, is shoot, I'll call sales. They always answer the phone.
Yep.
Now, having said that, I think it's a great question. You have to have as much emphasis on service as you do sales.
Right.
You know, if you look at fixed operations, fixed absorption into the true cost of operating a dealership, to net profit, that's a big miss that we miss in our industry. And we struggle on, we can't help the customer here because we're not equipped to help the customer from a service perspective as to the question of being centralized. We use tools as Google Chat, GroupMe, that we communicate across all channels with all stores because we're in a centralized location. We have stores all over the Midwest and all over the state of Florida. In real time, that if we have a customer complaint, we can escalate that in seconds through the tools. So I think that's a big opportunity for most dealerships, is how that inbound is handled. It was recorded, and then how are we managing that? Who's listening to those calls for quality? I will tell you, Eric, we have a whole team of Q&A people and quality assurance people, and this is all they do all day, is listen to inbound calls, and if we miss something, we get an alert immediately coming out of your system that we can second voice that customer or escalate that to the dealership, to the sales tower via your phone system.
Love that.
Instantly, so we don't miss. Are we perfect? No. Same thing with the service escalation. Are we perfect? No. But it's so critical, whether you're centralized or not centralized, that you are monitoring that inbound traffic, and then inspecting it. You know, the old adage, people do what you inspect, not what you expect.
Yep.
See, to your point originally, we look at the activity, but we don't measure the quality of the activity.
100%.
For either one of those, if it's a bad experience, if I can't get a status update on my car, or you're not answering me, or nobody answers the phone, the consumer's doing what?
Right.
They're just moving on.
Yep.
How's that CSI score going to work out for you?
Exactly. So
the phone is everything to the success across multiple verticals within our dealership operations.
Yeah, you bring up a lot of good points there, and I want to touch on real quick where John asked about the voice AI support today, and you know what can it do, and where do you see it going? So, a lot of the way that I look at the DVAs that are coming in is right now they are, you know, they're increasing the capacity of your team, and they're taking some of those you know, maybe that you can set them up to handle some of the off or the low value calls, right, where relationships, status checks, and things like that. Where I think they come are going to be they're going to be almost a defensible moat that you're building around your dealership is in the next 6 months. Where you think about the tools where OpenAI and Perplexity and even Apple are going to start rolling out the abilities to create these personalized agents that you're going to be able to say, go call dealerships for me and find me and set up 6 test drives, right? Like that you brought up staffing a minute ago. So it's like, okay, now you have your staffing all set, but now all of a sudden you're getting an influx of thousands of calls from these personalized AI agents. Everybody's got their own Jarvis running around, making these calls on your behalf. That's where the AI, that's where I think the DBAs are going to be very important in the next 6, 9, 12 months is as those start to roll out and become mainstream amongst consumers is you're not going to be able to staff people to handle that call volume. You're going to have that AI teammate that is taking those, what I would consider those low value calls to the point where they're ready to get on a human and they've found that with that. But that's one of the interesting things that I see. So real quick, I want to go ahead.
Yeah, excuse me there just for a second.
Yeah.
So I kind of equate what you just said as a call tree, but in a different way.
Right.
Because of AI, right? So the call tree filters the best it can, non-human, right?
Right.
We're using AI. We have stores using AI. A lot of our follow-up after 30 days 100%. Is AI. And then if somebody engages, I have a live agent to engage with them. Guess where? On the phone.
Yep.
Because typically they're looking, what we're seeing now, they're looking for an appointment. That's human. You know? Yeah, we get people that say on text, we'll make an appointment. But 90% of our appointment set to appointment show start with a phone call.
Right.
Right? So I see that AI is going to be a big benefit to us to handle things that aren't exactly consumers maybe ready or in market yet. I'll go to the antithesis of that in a service environment where it says, you know, my car's in service, give me a status update. And within our systems, if our system says I've inputted a status update, then the AI can grab the status update and just resend it to the customer.
Yep.
So there's going to be a huge amount of benefit as far as very quick communication channels. We're going to see, if it's done correctly, CSI go up.
100%.
Not down. I wanted to chime in on that.
Yeah, no, I agree. 100%. And that's where we're seeing with the dealerships that we work with is that CSI score because the customer is not waiting on hold. They're getting their immediate. And it's immediacy is such an important thing these days. So I want to pivot a little bit about turning, you know, those conversations into conversions and thoughts there is, you know, you guys have been very intentional about ensuring that calls don't just get answered, but they actually convert into appointments and then ultimately revenue across the entirety of the group. So can you share any of the specific tactics you guys use to improve that appointment conversion rate, get your agents all singing or working from the same sheet of music across the board? I know a lot of that has to do with the centralized nature of what you do. I would love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we kind of look at 5 main pieces that we ask our agents to hit in every call. And in every voicemail, by the way, right? Not as much in text because it's too lengthy, but back to your original question. So we know that if we hit these 5 main points, it's going to engage the customer, right? Like for instance, do we make the car the star? I mean, let's be honest. At the end of the day, they're calling about the damn car. You know, what is it about the car? What is the car like? What does the Carfax look like? What is this? What is that? We do that. We make offers. We create urgency, right? We beat the heck out of them about tonality, right? So if we can hit those 5 main points, then I can look at a call from your data and tell by the length of that call and then look at the conversion to an appointment. And I can tell you why there wasn't an appointment made. A, the call was too long, so we talked too long. That goes back to my point about talent.
Right.
Do you want a car salesperson in your BDC talking to customers? What's the majority of things that happen there? They try to sell the car. So when I'm seeing agents do 6 or 7, we call them wedding calls on a call, I'm like, you're talking way too much. We're very big on landing the plane, right? Nothing's going to happen until they show up at the dealership showroom.
Yep.
And so we go to the appointment. We constantly trial close to the appointment. And then not only do we do that, but then we also measure in real time with our back-end tools, what do their show rates look like? why is this agent so good on the phone, right? And we listen to the calls, they make appointments, but the customer's not showing. When we go back and listen to the call, here's the, you know, accountability part. Well, they missed 3 of the 5 points. They had a lay down or they just got lazy, so we can coach. We're like, okay, we can identify with data, with listening to recorded calls, what our results we're looking for, and figure out why we're not getting the result we want. What's going on there? And we get all of that. And that's how we manage that.
Yep. That's
and
great.
We coach that.
I think that brings me to my next question is, how did you guys really get to the numbers and the KPIs that gave you a good balance between, you know, what you saw with the volume of calls versus the quality of interactions? Like, how did you find that equilibrium?
Well, we assign points in our quality assurance department that we grade the call on those 5 KPIs, mm-hmm. right? And then there is a score assessed to that agent. And we have a back-end tool that we do running report cards that are live and in real time, right? The same way that we have with your API that we use, right? And the same way our CRM works with that API, where we're constantly trading data and the consumer touch. And from that, that gives us great insight in real time. That we can self-correct. I even take it down a little bit more rubber to the road. If I'm looking at my dashboard on call review right now, which I have up, and I see that an agent's just killing it today. You know, it's got 14 inbounds, 57 outbounds, 7 appointments. And I'm getting ready to do a shift. I have a store that this agent's on, right, that's on a team that has multiple stores. And I'm in real time saying, I need help with this dealership that I need appointments in. I'm going to be from this data. I can take that agent and move him into that store. Not everybody hits home runs every day.
Right.
Right. Not everybody's Peyton Manning, but I will say this to your point earlier. What's interesting when they go to the sidelines, Mahomes does this. They all do this. The first thing you see in their hands, an iPad. What are they doing? They're being held accountable for the last play.
Yep.
Right? So we're doing the same thing here. And then leveraging people that are on a roll today. Mm-hmm. When's the best time to sell another car? When you just sold one. When's the best time to set an appointment? Is when you just set one.
Right.
And being able to manage that in real time from your all's dashboards is priceless.
No, that's awesome. So can you drill down on a little bit of that? And that was a huge key win. Is there anything, any other success stories from your team that really stand out in your mind? Like, I love that. I love the story about like the taking the hot hand. I think, you know, equating that back to baseball, like we were talking about before we started, was that you don't change your pitcher out right when they're, you know, on a hot streak. You let them run a little bit. Is there anything that particularly stands out before we move over to the next topic?
Yeah, I think you create an environment. One of the great things that Eddie and Brian Ableton has allowed us to do is to create an environment to where we work as a team. Mm-hmm. I think one of the most important things that I hope I didn't want to forget to say on this podcast was we measure inbound, outbound activity. We measure the quality of those. We measure activity. We measure show rates. We measure sold rates, but at the end of the day, this team's paid on sold units.
Sure.
And I think one of the biggest failures in our industry is we pay on the wrong activities. We pay on the wrong result. And at the end of the day, if you don't sell cars, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. So, and I think that camaraderie within our teams is probably the most rewarding part to me. And they all work together because they have a vested interest as a team to achieve the daily goals.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
Each other up. Yeah. Right. And,
so
that answers your question.
No, that does. Absolutely. So I think then that rolls us beautifully into, the next topic around creating that accountability across multiple rooftops. Right. So how important has, and how much has it changed the culture there of having that single view into your call performance across all of the stores?
So rephrase that for me.
So the single view across all of your stores that the dashboard gives you, how has that helped you change the culture and accountability and help build that culture of team effort?
Yeah. So, you know, listen, people can struggle. People can have a bad day. And by seeing this dashboard, it tells me, like, are we on track to hit our call goals today? Is this individual agent on track or they're not on track? Is this individual agent, and you'll laugh at this, are they spending more time on their cell phone than they are on the phone?
Right.
Our phone. Right. And, you know, they're making dials, but are they making the right dials? Right. And so the beauty of the dashboard lets you to click into anything. If I want to listen to inbounds, I click on the inbounds. If I want to do a spot check, which our managers do and our team leads do, I'm clicking on inbounds. If I want to see that I see a lot of activity that's abnormal, I'm like, why is this abnormal? You know, not that agents don't cheat, but even to your point of being human, like I need to get my call counts up. Well, I'm going to go call the same number 5 times. Well, we'll catch that in seconds. Like, okay, you know, let's stop that. We're not doing that here. And then the appointment set. So, you know, we look at all these variables across this platform and this dashboard and where am I at for the day? And one of the things we see are, you know, in real time, are we up for inbounds today? Are we down for inbounds today? What does the day look like? What is the consumer activity? What's happening here? And then we can make adjustments. We can pivot on a dime. And that's the beauty of having this data in real time.
So I think that's a great segue to, you know, that those analytics, right, that you have at your fingertips at real time. Like, how has that impacted your coaching, your training? And then how have the employees received that as, you know, because I talked to a couple of dealerships, about a week ago where they were struggling around their employees are kind of pushing back on the accountability that they're held to. And they don't like that they have that amount of visibility. So how did you turn that maybe hesitation of getting recorded, getting looked at on at that level of scrutiny into a coaching and training opportunity to improve versus looking at it as like, oh, Big Brother's watching me?
So I'll go back to this as a leadership.
Sure.
Absolute leadership question here. So, you know, great leaders, great coaches, you know, we practice for a reason. We train for a reason. This is probably the biggest deficit that we find, in my opinion, after 8 years being here, building this and growing this, was that we constantly are training. We're constantly practicing our craft on an ongoing basis. We have great support from corporate training. We have our team leads and our managers that train constantly. We play games. We make it fun. We spiff for the right reasons, for the right results. And this is big for me personally, is that we call out all the great things we're doing, but we also call out the opportunities that we can do better. So everybody's treated as a team. If I make an error on second base, it's still an error on the team.
Right.
If I throw an interception on the football field, it's an interception, but it's an interception against the team.
Right.
We turn the ball over. So that team, philosophy is priceless. And, but that's a leadership thing.
Yep.
That comes top down driven. And if you're getting pushback, that there's two things that are happening. One, they have a lack of understanding about what the expectations are. Or there are things that are being measured differently for different people.
Sure.
And it's going to come down to me. I'm going to close this statement out. Great managers, great leaders are consistent in how they manage the process.
Right.
If you treat everybody equally, you set the right expectation, right? And you show respect, not favoritism, but respect. You are going to change the results. Your outcomes will be as a team and not necessarily as an individual.
No,
and that's why it works.
Yeah. And I could not agree with that sentiment more is the, when you start pitting people against each other, it creates a culture of I'm going to keep everything in a bucket versus I'm going to be open with it. And then you start developing issues like out of the gate there. So real quick, David wants to know, how do you see AI help the dealer in real time with notifications or recommendations to handle task to opportunity for BDC and car sales? And then how are the managers involved with these alerts? Are they?
Oh, great question. So right now we're our AI tools that we're using. We have a separate side dashboard that is connected to our CRM. And while AI is doing what it does in the background, we part of the product's called Superhuman. So AI then escalates it up to us to where it pops in front of us, in front of our screen, like it's right there. You know, it's like an interstitial ad when you're on your phone. You know, they watch in your browsing history and you get this popped up. I'm like, you know, I have been interested in those Gohans. Let me click on that.
Yep.
The same thing applies with AI here. So, you know, the moment it pops up, you are now, that customer wants engagement. Not fake engagement, but real engagement. They're asking a question. They want to set an appointment. So you have to have people monitor it. Yes. You have to, you can't just set it and leave it alone. There's still the human involvement in there, especially when the customer wants to engage. Then when that customer says they're ready to engage with and they're engaging with AI, then boom, we go to the human side of the equation. And it literally results in appointments.
Yep.
It's just that simple.
Fantastic.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit here in our, and as we get to towards the end on, you know, building that culture, and you've touched on a little bit of performance and trust, which made a couple questions pop into my head. So you talked a lot about, you know, leadership top down, which is where you really foster that and bringing, you know, making sure everybody's on a level playing field and everybody knows the expectations.
Yep.
Everybody is clear in them. Can you give us some insights into how you make sure you communicate that so everybody is aware, and how you make sure they all know? And I'm a big proponent of, you've got to explain the why behind something. So how do you, as the leadership there and your other leaders across the Enableton stores, how do they communicate that why and make sure everybody knows what's behind it and the reasons?
Yeah, so in a report card that we have with our agents, agents have access to that report card daily. Can an agent have a bad day? Oh, hell yeah. It happens to all of us. You know, we're not perfect every day. But what that does for that agent is they know what they need to do today to make up for what they didn't do in the last 2 or 3 days.
Yep.
Hey, I need my call volume up. I need my show rate up. Well, okay, my show rate's down. Well, that is a data point. So now what do you do? We coach that agent then to go back to their appointments and follow up on missed appointments.
Mm.
So there's a data point, there's an action, and then you have a reaction to that data point. So that takes them where they can go and see if they can correct what's going on in the report card, right?
Sure.
That empowers them because they're in control. It's not like the old days, or some people today, get to the end of the month, say, okay, how many ups did you have? How many leads did you handle? What was your closing percentage? You know, what was your show rate? And then people have to go scramble to find the leads and do the calculator. We don't do any of that.
Yeah, that's great. And then real quick, David wanted to follow up on his previous question. So you, inside of Enableton, tech stack works call review to CRM, then to AI alerts. And I think it would be call review is the one sending the alerts. You guys are not using the CRM. It's immediate on the phone. You can correct me if I'm wrong there.
No, well, we have various different touch points there. So it could be depending on on where we're at with the customer and the process. But that stack is pretty spot on. There's some caveats to that, obviously, because we're centralized, and we're not in a store to touch a car as an example, right? So you still have to have a little bit of that, where we use the Google chat back and forth. Is it available? We look at data like that car's only 5 days old. There's a huge likelihood it's in transit. Or it was just purchased at auction, or it hasn't gone through inspection, that we don't want to send a customer in for 2 hour drive, not knowing if the car is available to test drive and buy, right? So all of those different stacks we use across the board. You know, I'll give you a really quick example. So great question, by the way, David, but customer comes in the dealership and said, we said, A. Your person told me that you could do this. And as a typical reaction in a store, you got a heat case. So sometimes that heat case then comes down to me, to us. Mm-hmm. And my whole philosophy has always been this. Let me check that.
Yep.
Don't get excited. I don't get crazy. Do we make mistakes? We do. When we screw up, we admit it immediately. But as a leader and as a manager in a showroom, when something comes in, take a step back and go listen to the call. Go listen to the recording. And I will tell you, 9 times out of 10, that's not what the agent told that customer. That customer's putting you together. That customer's putting you together on the showroom floor.
Yep.
Right? So while we work in an exciting environment, it gets stressful at times, these data tools, your dashboard specifically on these recorded calls, are literally priceless.
Yep.
Because it helps us control temperature. It helps us control consistency. And it helps us control the team that we have. And not control the team, but make the team inclusive. That everybody's a part of the same team, a part of the same game.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, I've talked to a lot of whenever I get to interact with dealerships, is you have to be centralized in your message and you all have to be playing from the same playbook. And if you're not playing from a consistent playbook, you're going to have, you know, strategy. And that's the same thing we preach internally here at Call Review with our sales team, right? Is everybody has to be dancing from the same music, or we're going to have an inconsistent message, and then it's going to cause problems. So, as we get into the last couple of minutes here, I want to be respectful of time. So from a leadership perspective, I got 2 more questions for you. From a leadership perspective, what's been the most transformative thing about unifying your phone analytics, your phone and your analytics data across the board?
Well, I would have to say is the results. The results of being able to see a clear vision through a lot of clutter, right? Through a lot of data points. At the end of the day, this is a human transaction. And these are humans talking to humans. And are we saying the right things? Do we have the right people talking to the right people at the right time on the phone? Are they trained? Are they coached? The data gives us all the tools that we need to give us direction to how we manage and hold people accountable.
And then real quick, one more question from David here. How are you guys using us, with after hour calls or before hours calls? Or I think you mean David here, correct me if I'm wrong, or do you pass it off to an AI to handle it?
At this time, we do not. They are recorded, and then anything that is recorded to us, the first thing we do in the morning, we get email alerts at real time from you guys, which is great. Like, you have a voicemail sitting. That goes to all of our management staff and team leads, supervisory staff, instantly. So we don't miss anything. And the people are reasonable to a point, unless they're out drinking at 2 a.m. in the morning, right? which happens.
We've all been there.
People know that we're closed. They're typically in an emergency situation or stressful situation. So we know when we come in the morning that their expectation was somebody wasn't going to answer that call.
Sure.
Autoresponders are there. We do have the recordings that says we're currently closed. We're back up and we'll call you back, in which we do. So that kind of answers that question, I hope.
Great. And so I'm going to ask this. I heard this phrased a way that I like doing this. If you were to talk to yourself 20 years ago, right, just starting out, what's the single piece of advice you would give yourself, knowing what you know now, to watch out for? The one thing you would look for?
Well, it's kind of interesting. So, you know, as I said in the beginning, you know, I preached for 25 years on dealers' best practices, what to do, how to handle customers. And no doubt, by actually putting my money where my mouth is for the last 7 years and the successes that we've had with the benefits of working for the Napleton Group and how their leadership has helped us build what we built. The number one key hasn't changed. It is about leadership. It's about holding people accountable. It's about taking your data points and turning them into action. You know, the old adage is knowledge is power. Well, that's bullshit. Knowledge is power with action.
Yep.
And this data, and there's a difference between knowledge and activity. And I think that's where we get confused a little bit and how to manage the right things. So I would tell myself, you know, why didn't we go in and learn the behaviors once the store touches them versus all the preaching of how we get the customer to you.
Right.
The actual, how do we change that consumer experience from migration of online to in-store?
Right.
And how do we do that better?
Yep.
That would be the biggest thing.
That's great. Love that. Thank you for sharing. And then last question here, and then we'll wrap it up. But, you know, where do you, looking ahead a little bit, where do you see the biggest opportunities for dealerships to optimize their phone and analytics together? Coming down the pipe,
talent and training.
Talent and training.
You know, people used to say that reception is the most important job in the dealership, and they're the least paid. Well, that makes no sense. Make them one of the best paid. Set the expectations. Put CSI in your store. Take your CSI that you get from everybody else and apply a CSI program within your store. And guess what? That's kind of what we do. So when we're listening to calls, we're measuring calls, we have a report card, we call out the really good work, and then we also call out the opportunities. That's an internal CSI. I think if more dealers adopted an internal CSI themselves for accountability, they will change their culture, which will change the results, which means more service revenue, more sales revenue.
That's amazing. Jack, this has been an absolutely enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for joining. We're going to go ahead and we're a little bit over time. We run these for about 45 minutes, but we went a little bit long today. Thank you again so much for joining. This was awesome. To our audience, thank you so much for joining as well. If you're interested in the on-demand links, they will be sent out tomorrow. And then as always, we will be posting this out as a podcast version out on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and all the other feeds. So if you got there, find the inside track, subscribe there. But with that, again, Jack, thank you so much for joining us. We very much appreciate it. And to our audience, we will see you next month. Take care, everybody.